Welcome to the NFL Talking Heads Fantasy Football Podcast Show. Here are your hosts, Jeff Carrier and Seth Lowell.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the NFL Talking Heads. It's Seth Lowell. Here by my side is Jeff Carrier. We are on part 9 of our draft series special. We are talking about players to avoid. Time to get a little negative here, right? I mean, we've been way too positive with all these players that we want to target, all these players that we like, talking about Robert Woods and Kenny Stills over and over again. We're going to talk about some players that we absolutely are avoiding, that we don't want any part of, relative to their ADP for the most part. You know, before we get into this, obviously, I think it's worth noting that we love the first, second, and third round for the most part. So a lot of the players we're going to be talking about are players that are slated to go, you know, or middle third round on. And these are players that we just absolutely do not like based on where they're being drafted. There are players that will not be on any of our teams. And we think that you should avoid them as well. Anything to add to that before we jump into this?
No, I just think that avoiding a player, you know, in a year could be so important. Last year we mentioned it a lot just because it comes off, you know, just at the top of my head is the Isaiah Crowell, Marshawn Lynch's of the world. In the past, you know, we've avoided Amari Cooper, for example. And sometimes some player could be pretty decent. So a good example of that might have been Brandon Cooks last year in the second, you know, end of the second round, because we just, even though he didn't have a bad year and he played all 16 games, sometimes you still don't get burned, but there's an opportunity cost if you can pivot somewhere else. So I think that it's not only about potentially missing out on what they could do, it's just also about securing points, right? That's one of the draft strategies, like give me the points. And you can avoid a player a lot of times and still get the same production, and which is what a lot of our strategy is. So we're going to talk about some of those players that just don't make a lot of sense to grab where they're going currently in their ADP.
Yep, and I think a lot of these players, you brought up Isaiah Crowell last year, which is a good one because he was a player that we were both completely off on. I avoided him like the plague in every single league. I actually traded for him in one of our dynasty leagues, but that's a little bit different because you're factoring in salaries, and I did it through a trade. I just traded like a draft pick. But you know, that made looking back at last year and what Isaiah Crowell did, that is exactly why we didn't want Isaiah Crowell. The upside wasn't so great because he was a Cleveland running back, because he doesn't catch the football. The upside wasn't so great. The risk reward analysis that you could have done would not have led you to say, okay, let's take Isaiah Crowell. It was just way too risky, too unproven, and lo and behold, last year happened. So
yeah, and let me chime in real quick too, because I also want to also not only talk about those players that we're right about, but you know, a player that we were wrong about last year was Tyreek Hill. I believe, yep. I'm correct, he was going in the third round, and we had an episode last year that was players that we didn't like but we could be wrong about, and then players that we liked that what we could be wrong about, you know. And he was one of those players that, you know, we weren't drafting, we were staying away from, but you know, we thought that there was a potential that we could be wrong about him. Now, we were saying in the third round, remember, in the third round ish we were saying let's pivot to a couple different people. I think DT was going in that round, which, you know, didn't perform exactly up to par. You would have got a wide receiver too, but you would have definitely missed out on the upside there with Tyreek Hill. But a couple other people that was going in the third round was DeAndre Hopkins, who was coming after a bad year, who was in our draft grid to grab in the middle of the third round. And so was Keenan Allen, right, coming off of the previous injury. So depending on how you pivoted, you still could have got very good production. I don't think, even if you got DT and you missed out on Tyreek Hill, you know, that one definitely hurt you. But there was a couple other areas there, like DeAndre Hopkins, Keenan Allen, that you didn't miss out on the production at all.
Yeah, and I think when you talk about a player like Tyreek Hill, who's that talented, you're always playing with fire. You always know that there's a chance that he could come back to burn you. And he burned us last year. We were wrong. We can admit it. But for the most part, you know, I think there's also a lot of players we were right about, like Sammy Watkins, Isaiah Crowell, and so on. So hopefully we're right more often than we're wrong.
Yeah, I feel like we do pretty good or better at the players to avoid than necessarily the target ones, because those can kind of I guess they're both kind of hard to predict, but I feel like we have a little bit better success in this category. But I just looked at Demaryius Thomas, 205 points in PPR. Tyreek Hill, 239. So, you know, you're talking a 30-point difference-ish over the course of a season. So even if you pivoted to DT and had an underwhelming year, it's not like Tyreek Hill made you – not getting him made you lose the league. And that's the whole idea, though, is that you don't go and get the Marshawn Lynch – and get completely burned. It's just you're pivoting to give you points.
Yep. No, totally agree. And the player that I want to start with here is to kick this off for players to avoid is Alex Collins. He's somebody that's going end of the third round, which is insane to me. He had a nice year last year. He had his first year in the NFL was he didn't really kind of find his stride. He was drafted by Seattle. Got cut by Seattle, went to Baltimore, and despite Baltimore being one of the worst offenses in the NFL, he had a cute year. He had 212 carries, 973 yards, 6 touchdowns, 23 catches. Like he had a solid season. He was a good story. He was a top waiver pickup. He was someone that a lot of people grabbed in free agency, and he was a big boost to a lot of teams. But he, to me, Alex Collins is the Isaiah Crowell this year for a lot of reasons. There's a bunch of things that I don't like about Alex Collins. Let's start with the offense he's on. Number one, Baltimore. Number two, Javorius Allen and Kenneth Dixon are going to be nipping at his heels. It is going to be a poor man's version of the Green Bay situation with Ty Montgomery, Aaron Jones, and Jamal Williams. I don't love his size. He's 5'10", 208 pounds. When you look at the running backs that are going in the first and second round, the David Johnsons, the Saquon Barkleys, even the Kareem Hunts, the Le'Veon Bells, the Ezekiel Elliotts, they are 6 feet and up. And most of them are, 220 pounds or more. So his size, I'm not, he's too small, and he's not someone that's going to catch the football. That's going to be Javorius Allen or Kenneth Dixon.
What was the size you had on there? Because I'm looking at 5'10", 208.
Yeah, 5'10", 208.
Oh, okay. That's a very reasonable size for a running back, I'd say.
Well, a lot of the top running backs are like 6'1", 230. Saquon Barkley, I think 238, 6'1". Le'Veon Bell, 6'1". Gurley, 6'1". David Johnson, 6'2". Kareem Hunt, a little bit smaller, 5'11". I just don't think he's not that big bruising running back. He was incredibly efficient last year, 4.6 yards per carry. On an offense like Baltimore, it's going to be hard for him to sustain that. He's going to need to put in a lot of touchdowns. Only 6 touchdowns last year. He's going to need to get into the double digits in order for him to pay dividends at where where he's being drafted late in the third round, especially considering he's not going to catch the football. So is he safe? He's a guy that I would love to get in the sixth round, but he's going in the third round, and that's why I'm avoiding Alex Collins. If he falls to the fourth round, I'm still not taking him there. So any disagreements with me on Alex Collins? Where do you come down on Collins?
No, because the biggest thing with Collins is where he's going. I could pivot in 1,000 different areas and be guaranteed points. That's the biggest thing. I mean, Collins is not going to all of a sudden blow up and be the number one running back. He's got no shot at that, mainly because he's not going to be a pass catcher. And we're talking about PPR leagues here. So it's easy to pivot away from someone like that. Don't feel like you have to draft someone like that you don't love. It's the exact opposite. It's super easy to pivot away from someone. And you know that old adage of fool me once, fool me twice, whatever. You're not going to get me a third time.
Yeah. Fool me once, shame. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me.
Right. So how many times have we seen this, though, with a mid-year running back? C.J. Anderson, Jeremy Hill, a little bit different there maybe with Jeremy Hill. He was a rookie, but these running backs that come out of nowhere, J.J., I wouldn't say out of nowhere, but they come out in the middle of the season. Defenses don't have time to prepare for them. You have a whole offseason. Injuries all around them force extra production and touches to them. To me, this has all of that writing on the wall. And most importantly, the offense stinks.
Yeah, and it's just crazy to me that, you have Zach Ertz going behind him and Juju Schuster. I don't even think it's close. I would take both of them over Alex Collins, and it's not even remotely close. Which is why he caught lightning in a bottle last year, it seems like, for the Ravens. He had a cute season. I'm going to keep referring to his season as cute because that's what it was. It wasn't a great season. And he's going to be the third player that you're going to put on your team, you know, someone you're going to take in the third round. Absolutely not. So I'm staying away from Alex Collins.
Let me give you another thing here. Average time behind the line of scrimmage, right? The worst running back was Tariq Cohen at nearly 3.5 seconds. Tariq Cohen runs very horizontal, kind of makes sense. You don't really want your running backs running horizontal, of course. So that's why Tariq Cohen usually is either running tosses or, you know, something along those lines. Anyways, Le'Veon Bell is in this category. He's actually right ahead of Alex Collins in terms of spending more time behind the line of scrimmage, but he's Le'Veon Bell. So unless Alex Collins is Le'Veon Bell, I don't imagine that this is a good category to be at the top of the list on, which is where Alex Collins is. Unless he's got an extra, you know, speed burst that I'm not aware of, this is not an area or, you know, a metric that I think is favorable in his for him as well.
Yeah, and that's what makes Le'Veon Bell so unique is his patience. He can kind of hang back there. It almost seems like he comes to a complete standstill and waits for things to open up in front of him.
Yeah, because listen to these other names. Elijah McGuire, is he good?
Nope.
He was only a rookie, but probably not. Marlon Mack, that doesn't sound encouraging. Amir Abdullah, definitely not. So those are the only people that are worse than Alex Collins.
Yeah, it usually like screams to me like indecisiveness when players hang behind the line of scrimmage. So the next player we have here, I think, is a very easy one, Josh Gordon. You know, he's had a lot of issues with alcohol, drugs, suspensions, the likes. He plays on Cleveland, and I think this is just – he's going in the fourth round. This is a guy who has all the talent in the world. His ADP year after year reflects that. And it's just like we talked about the same thing with Tyreek Hill. Like if Josh Gordon plays a full 16 games and, you know, catches 90 passes for 1,200 yards and 12 touchdowns, great. Like, you got me. Like, that's fine because I'm not going to lose sleep over it because I know the chances of him missing almost the whole season, if not the whole season, and having issues along the way is, you know, that the chance of that happening is much greater. And in the fourth round, I'm just not willing to take that risk. I would much rather. There's plenty of players in that range. Mark Ingram, you know, even give me a Brandon Cooks, right? If that's what it means. There's too many options at that spot in the draft. I'm not going to take a chance on Josh Gordon. He hasn't proven to be reliable at all the past few years. So I'm just avoiding Josh Gordon like the plague.
Yeah, unlike Brandon Cooks actually fits the strategy of give me the points because Brandon Cooks plays 16 games and he's somewhat consistent, actually. Even when he was in New Orleans, he's actually – people think of him like a deep threat, but he's actually pretty consistent. So he fits a lot more of the give me the points. Josh Gordon, he fits the category of drugs. And there's nothing that we've been more accurate on than just don't draft Josh Gordon. Now – obviously, at this point, it's looking like he's got his life in order a lot better than he had a couple years ago. Remember 2 years ago, we had a guest on, a fantasy football expert that was taking him in the fifth round. That was when he came back, was reinstated after being a year plus out. And what happened? He didn't show up for the entire season, missing the entire season. Everyone got burned on that. His ADP used to be at 3.05 as early as mid-July. So now it's 4.09-ish, right? So it's dropping because he hasn't shown up. So you have a guy who did play a little bit at the end of last year. That was encouraging, but hasn't shown up to training camp. I understand that the whole Hard Knocks doesn't want to be on around that area. But what do you think happens when you start traveling from city to city when you're in the NFL regular season? Is he going to be able to shelter himself from that? That along with other weapons, much better quarterback play there now, much better. But again, where his ADP is, it makes it so easy to pivot. We're not talking about a seventh rounder where you got to choose between Michael Crabtree or Josh Gordon. That's not the answer here. That's not the question. So yeah, this is easy. It's just do an easy pivot and let's rock and roll.
Yeah, and he's played, you know, 2013 was his coming out party, his breakout season.
It's
5 years ago. So I think Josh Gordon's an easy one. I'm moving on for Josh Gordon. You know, again, if sixth, seventh, eighth round, you know, sure, I'd consider it if I knew he was going to at least start the season. We don't even know if he's going to start the season. So I'm going to be avoiding Josh Gordon. We're both on the same page with that. Want to get into a few of these running backs, starting with LeSean McCoy. So we talked about him in our 30-year-old episode, you know, players that are 30-plus years old, buy or sell, that whole thing. LeSean McCoy is coming off back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. Buffalo really has nothing to work with. They have an interesting quarterback situation with Nathan Peterman, Josh Allen, and A.J. McCarron. Not sure if that's an upgrade or a downgrade or the status quo. Where do you come down on with LeSean McCoy? Because even with the off-the-field stuff he's been caught up in a little bit this offseason, he's still going, I think, at an okay spot. He's going in the third round, which is still somewhat of a premium considering his age and considering some of the risks. But, you know, when you look at some of the players that are going around him, Darius Geis is out for the season, so that'll change. But he was slated to be going around, you know, a pick after him. Joe Mixon right before LeSean McCoy. He's younger. He might have more upside, obviously. But he really hasn't proven anything. Somebody with LeSean McCoy's consistent track record, and you talked about Jordan Howard not really having anybody competing with him for touches. No one's competing with LeSean McCoy in Buffalo for touches as long as LeSean McCoy is healthy.
Yeah, and you know, that's definitely a good argument. And it's sometimes, you know, you say, like, I might say, well, I really just want to avoid LeSean McCoy this year. I just don't want to be that 1 year too late because it could be disastrous. But you could easily point to workload. Just the amount of touches he's going to get. He's going to put up points. I think all of those are true. And again, I think, as I mentioned when we talked about the 30-year-old players, he should still be able to have another year where he can put up some points. But because of where he's going, too many pivots for me. Give me Adam Thielen. Give me Stephon Diggs. Give me Travis Kelce. Give me Doug Baldwin. Too many spots, bad offense, different offensive line, change of quarterback. Too many question marks for me.
I mean, my only problem with it is, yeah, he has question marks, but look at some of the running backs. So he finished as the seventh running back in fantasy last year. Look at some of the running backs that are going ahead of him. Jerick McKinnon, he has question marks. You know, you have Jordan Howard. He finished ahead of Jordan Howard in points last year. He had more points than Leonard Fournette. Not that Leonard Fournette really has any question marks, but, you know, I just think that there's a lot of receivers that Christian McCaffrey, he finished ahead of Christian McCaffrey. Christian McCaffrey's going ahead of him. Alex Collins is going pretty close to him, even though, you know, LeSean McCoy had 55 more fantasy points than Alex Collins last year. I just think LeSean McCoy in the third round, to me, he seems like he should be a second round running back based on what he's done the past couple seasons. So
and if it was the same Buffalo Bills team, even though he's the age of 30, whatever he is, I would agree. But I am seriously concerned about the change of offensive line, the change of offensive coordinator, the quarterback and offensive line. I just think it's a different team. I think that they're a different team.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really worried about the quarterback. I don't see how going from Tyrod Taylor to potentially A.J. McCarron, Josh Allen is a downgrade. I'm just not too worried about it. I just think that you're already getting a little bit of a discount on LeSean McCoy because he's 30, and because a lot of these other running backs are more sexy, are younger, have a little bit more upside. But LeSean McCoy has been rock solid the past couple seasons. I just think I think this is a fair spot for him. So it sounds like he's a player you're looking to avoid. I'm not putting him in. For me, he's not a player I'm avoiding. I'm not really targeting him. But if it gets in the late third round, I think LeSean McCoy is a smart pick.
Yeah, this is definitely probably a little bit more on me in terms of why he's on the list for sure. And I understand that he looks like a value. I don't want to be 1 year too late. I really don't. I'm just gonna pivot this year. But let's play the ADP game. Okay, just to kind of get a perspective of where you're taking LeSean McCoy as we get to the end of the second, early third round. We'll count the top 19, 20 players off the board. Okay, first up matchup is LeSean McCoy or Jerick McKinnon.
That's so tough. I mean, just to put it in perspective, no, McKinnon has upside. LeSean McCoy has had 1,100 or more rushing yards 4 out of the last 5 seasons, and the only season he had 895, 2015, he missed 4 games. So it's really hard for me. I mean, he really hasn't shown any sign of slowing down. He had 287 carries last year, so 59 catches. So I think I would lean towards LeSean McCoy, especially as we get closer to the season, and I know he's going to be starting week one, and he's healthy and all that good stuff.
Okay.
And he did just turn 32, so he's a young 30s player.
Yeah, well, I'm sure. and according to you, he's probably been in the league for 1,000 years.
This is his 10th season, so that's a long time.
I'm sure that you're taking him over Jordan Howard, right?
Yep.
Now, how about Mike Evans?
No, I'm taking Mike Evans.
T.Y. Hilton?
Taking T.Y.
Okay. Joe Mixon?
I think I'll take McCoy. I think I would take McCoy. I just think, you know, barring an injury, the only thing I'm worried about with McCoy is an injury. I'm not really too worried about him slowing down that much this year. I think I would lean towards McCoy. I think Jerick McKinnon is a little closer. Like, Jerick McKinnon to me is a coin flip with LeSean McCoy. Joe Mixon, I'm probably taking LeSean McCoy.
Okay. Yeah, so you're probably got him right around, looks like around pick 23-ish, give or take a spot or two.
Yeah. Yep. All right, so let's get to a couple other running backs. Jay Ajayi. It seems like every time I look at Jay Ajayi's ADP, I'm like surprised. As if every time I look at his ADP, it's like the first time I've seen it, because I'm always surprised. You know, you'd think I would like expect, like, oh yeah, I saw this yesterday. He's going in the fourth round. But no, every time I look at it, I'm like, geez, 4.03 for Jay Ajayi. What do you think about Jay Ajayi? I mean, obviously, I think for me, he's a player I'm going to be avoiding.
Yep. I mean, this is the guy who has basically played really good one half a year, or I forget what it was 2 seasons ago in Miami when he killed it. It was actually only random games, right? Like, you played Pittsburgh and had like 300 rushing yards or something like that. I'm going to try and look up his game log in 2016 here. But he essentially had like 3 or 4 really good games. And that's what we're basing this all off of. Is that right? I mean, do I recall this correctly? And he did nothing in Miami for the first half, gets traded, goes to a system that has 17 running backs and shares them across the board. I don't know what it is with him that I'm missing. Is he a good running back? Yeah, he's a nice running back. He's powerful. I think he's has great balance and attack and all of those things. But he's for fantasy purposes, especially out in Philly, there's absolutely nothing exciting about him.
Yeah, I mean, one touchdown last year. between his seven-game stint with the Dolphins and his seven-game stint with the Eagles, and he's someone that doesn't catch passes.
One touchdown the whole time?
One touchdown the entire year. Two total touchdowns.
Here's what happened in 2016. Here's what happened. He had that 3 weeks in a row, over 200 yards against Pittsburgh, over 200 yards against Buffalo, then over 100 against the Jets, then went cold for... And, I mean, he didn't do terrible in some of these games, but, I mean, no more. He never hit 80 yards for 6 games, then hits 200 against Buffalo again, same team with no defense that year. So we're basing this basically all off of these four games in 2016. It seems like.
And my big problem with running backs like Jay Ajayi is there's no margin for error, because if you're telling me he's not going to be somebody that's going to catch more than 25 passes, which he isn't, then okay, he has to put in at least 7 to 8 touchdowns minimum. So he's going to go from 1 touchdown to 7 to 8.
And oh, by the way, he's not the goal line. He's not a guaranteed every goal line situation. Yeah. He's going to get some, but so is Corey Clement.
So let other people in your league go after Jay Ajayi. Again, I'm staying away from Jay Ajayi. It's still at a point in the draft where there's too many other options, too many other good options. You can easily make that pivot. I think, which is a good transition into Kenyon Drake. Jay Ajayi was traded from Miami. Some people believe it's because they like Kenyon Drake. Kenyon Drake had an okay, I'd probably put it in the, cute category, like with Alex Collins.
You're really using that this episode, huh?
Yeah, I'm just taking digs at these running backs, and they had cute seasons. I mean, Alex Collins had a cute season. Kenyon Drake, cute season. Where do you come down on with Kenyon Drake?
What I noticed last year with Miami, and I love to go with a lot of times basically what the coaches are telling you by what they're doing, right? Not necessarily what they're saying, and I use that in the Jordan Howard example, in terms of not signing a free agent or drafting a rookie running back. With Miami, what we saw was you're not going to get the ball full time until both we trade Jay Ajayi and Damian Williams goes down with an injury. It wasn't until week 12 that he ended up started getting 20 carries a game. Before week 12, he only had over 70 yards once. He had 10 carries before week 12. You want to guess how many times?
How many? Say it again.
Before week 12, how many games did he have 10 carries?
Zero.
Zero. That's right. So before everyone died around him, he was never given the ball more than 10 times. And what does Miami do in the offseason? Oh, we're going to go sign this guy who is older than dirt but reliable. His name is Frank Gore. And we're also going to go ahead and draft a pretty decent rookie out of Arizona State, Kalen Ballage. Yeah, I don't know what to think about this. I mean, Kenyon Drake's a nice 11th. I don't know, 12th round running back. Where is he going?
He's going in the 4th round.
Oh.
I mean, I think he'll be fine in the 6th round or 7th round. I just think it's as simple as this. When a running back like Kenyon Drake has all these question marks, he's unproven, he's got other people he's going to be competing with for touches, and he's on a very average to below average, really, offense, I'm just staying away, because at some point, there's only so much upside a player like Gio is going to have, like, a player that you like in Gio, because he's on Cincinnati. There's only so much upside Alex Collins is going to have because he's on Baltimore. So I'm staying away from the Miami running back with all the question marks, who you're going to have to waste a 4th-round pick to get when, oh, by the way, Juju Smith-Schuster is going right behind him. You still have, Golden Tate, who's very solid, going behind him. Mark Ingram's going behind him. I would rather go. There's a lot of different pivot points, a lot of different players you can pivot to, just to pass on Kenyon Drake. And he's kind of like a Tyreek Hill. Like he had some spots last year where he really broke out. He could have a full breakout season as the starter. God bless those people that draft Kenyon Drake and and hit on him, I'm not going to be the one to take the risk on Kenyon Drake.
Absolutely not. And just to wrap this up on Kenyon Drake, because I could talk trash about any Miami player all night, and specifically about Kenyon Drake. And I would love to short this guy if he was a stock. But Miami is a bad offense, to your point. So that doesn't help the issue. He's kind of like a Jamal Williams, Aaron Jones, where, you know, there's a running back, most likely by committee. You don't know who's going to do good, what game. The difference is Green Bay is a lot better offense. Miami was the fourth worst in terms of rushing yards last year. And, oh, by the way, dead last in rushing attempts. This is the same argument that I had for Isaiah Crowell last year. Do you guys realize that Cleveland can't run the ball because they're not ahead? What do you think is going to happen with Miami this year? Bad defense. They're going to be behind. They're going to be throwing the ball.
Yep, and another running back, you know, another running back we've talked a lot about. I was completely, we were both actually completely avoiding him last season. This season is no different. Marshawn Lynch, I think a lot of people.
Back on here, huh?
Yep, back on. I think a lot of people see, okay, Marshawn Lynch's ADP is fallen to a point that is easier to stomach. I think a lot of people look at the, you know, the coaching change and John Gruden, and, oh, he's going to ground and pound, and, you know, Marshawn Lynch is really going to excel under John Gruden. I don't see why. I'm not taking a chance on Marshawn Lynch. I don't care if it's in the eighth round. I don't want him on my team. I look at him very, very much like Jay Ajayi, and there really isn't a lot of difference between Jay Ajayi and Marshawn Lynch. That's the ironic thing. But even Marshawn Lynch, going where he's going, which I believe is the eighth round. I'll see if there's an update.
It looks like
on his ADP.
Seventh
round, yeah. So even though there's a three-round difference, you're getting him three rounds after Jay Ajayi. I'm still staying away from Marshawn Lynch. I don't think I would take Marshawn Lynch in the top 10 rounds.
No, there's a lot of running backs there, a little bit unsure on the offense. Doesn't catch the ball. There's no upside, really, for the most part. So
he's 32 years old. He's a player in his 30s.
Yeah.
You really question whether Marshawn Lynch really loves football, whether it's important to him. He took a whole year off. He was in the middle of a bunch of weird, like, skirmishes last season. I don't know. I'm not a fan of Marshawn Lynch, and I still think in the seventh round there's plenty of other players I could pivot to, you know, and there's plenty of good running backs in this draft. You don't need to go out and get Kenyon Drake or Marshawn Lynch or Jay Ajayi. There's always going to be a better option, a better player to pivot to in those scenarios.
And I'm sure Marshawn Lynch is probably a really good candidate for our same player, different round category once we get to that episode too.
Oh, I have a feeling I'm going to find a way to take another dig at Marshawn Lynch and utilize him in that best, you know, same player, different round.
And the players and the players that we're talking about in this, you know, players to avoid, is we're going to go to a pretty extensive, you know, like, even if they drop, let's say Marshawn Lynch, to your point, Seth, was, let's say he drops in the ninth round, 10th round, like, we're still probably not going to take him. Like, he's just not someone that we're going to be targeting. Every person that we talk about is a little bit different, because if someone who's a little bit higher up in the fourth round drops three rounds, that's different. But for the most part, you know, these aren't people that we're unsure about depending on their value. These are people that we really just don't want to have any shares of.
Yep. And going from Marshawn Lynch to another player that has ended up on this list for the second year in a row, none other than Sammy Watkins.
It's only the second year in a row. I'm pretty sure it's got to be at least three, four Pete.
Yeah, I'm trying to be nice here. I'm trying to take. I was a little hard on Sammy last year, and he proved us right. And this season, you know, contract aside, because he got one of the most ridiculous contracts that I've ever seen a receiver get. He's going from being the number one receiver on a very, very good offense to the number two receiver on an Andy Reid offense, albeit probably solid offense with a first year starting quarterback, second year player, but first year starter. Sammy Watkins is never healthy. He's only played 16 games his rookie season. You know, he had 8 touchdowns last year, but he had 593 yards, 39 catches. He's just and I see that as like I don't see him chipping in more than 40 catches for Kansas City. Not when you have Kareem Hunt, Travis Kelce, and Tyreek Hill there. He's going to be the fourth option overall, second wide receiver, but the fourth option overall in the offense. And people just don't learn their lesson. When you look at his ADP.
Is this really 6.09? Am I reading this right?
6.09. I mean, it's very similar to like how I feel about Jay Ajayi. It's like he had a bad season and people – and like the ADP doesn't really slide to its appropriate place. Sammy Watkins' ADP is basically – you know, I'm going to look up what his ADP was going into last season because there was a lot of hype.
I think Cameron Meredith caught more balls than him last year while he was on injured reserve. I mean, 39 balls. He's almost a lock to miss games too because he's only played 16 games once on his rookie year. What I always found fascinating last year, this always blew my mind. Sammy Watkins was wherever he was going, like fourth round or something like that, something ridiculous. Then he gets traded to LA Rams and say, okay, new offense, better quarterback, Sean McVay. That's a better situation. Then his ADP drops. Tell me how being in Buffalo is better than going to the Rams and then his ADP drops.
Last year,
you guys aren't
6.
Reading
10.
The market. Like, you guys are responding incorrectly.
To me, Sammy Watkins doesn't have a ton of upside. He doesn't have a ton of upside, so if you're going to take him in the sixth round, like he has to be somewhat of a safe bet. He has to provide some sort of consistent fantasy production, which he hasn't proven for through injuries or just inconsistency in general. He hasn't proven that he can provide that. So, again, I'm staying away from Sammy Watkins. I think he's another player at least 3 rounds. I mean – I wouldn't take him in the 7th round. I probably wouldn't even take him in the 8th round. I might take him in the 9th or 10th round, but I'm just not itching to grab the number 2 receiver on Kansas City, even if it's Pat Mahomes.
Real quick here, I'm looking up someone's stats. I'm just trying to find someone down the list. Oh, yep, just found someone. Marquise Lee had more catches. He's in the 11th round. There you go. Go get him.
Yeah, go. I mean, let me just pull up a list of random wide receivers that are going late in the draft. Just go grab any of them. Next player, Michael Crabtree. You know, we talked about him in our players over the age of 30 episode, and he's going to Baltimore. You know, one of the worst passing offenses in the entire NFL. They're right there with Cincinnati. I'm avoiding Michael Crabtree. I liked him for a couple years in Oakland. And he did really well, over 80 catches, right around 1,000 yards, 8 touchdowns or more in Oakland. We talked about those numbers ad nauseum. But like you brought up, he hits the age of 30, or approaches the age of 30, and he misses a couple games. And he's, you know, obviously the entire Oakland offense had a really terrible year, but he was part of that. And now he goes to Baltimore, a worse situation. And like Sammy Watkins, we don't really see his ADP take a hit. I mean, his ADP was in the 4th round last year, and this year, Michael Crabtree is going, I believe, what, in the 6th round, 6.04? That's insanity. I'm staying away from Michael Crabtree.
Yep. Baltimore was the 4th worst team in terms of a total passing yards on the year. I don't think anything is going to change this year. They have a plethora of veteran, barely average wide receivers. So Joe Flacco is not a very good quarterback in the nutshell. So nothing really exciting about Michael Crabtree, unfortunately, even though he was our guy for the last couple of years. But you got to know when to jump off ship, and we're jumping off.
Yeah, I mean, he's coming off a terrible year, and he's going to one of the worst situations he could go to. He's another player that I wouldn't. He's a player that ideally, honestly, I look at as he would fit our bench strategy. He is a solid high floor guy because he's going to catch passes. He's probably going to catch around 65, maybe 70 passes if he's lucky, which is great for your bench. But He's going in the sixth round. That is not a place where you normally are thinking bench player.
And Baltimore also had the 11th most pass attempts last year because, you know, they were behind a lot. And they still managed to be the fourth worst in terms of passing yards.
Yep. And staying in line with that, you know, in one of the previous episodes, we talked about, you know, I think it was in our draft strategy. We talked about the sixth round for receivers, six, seven, eight round for receivers, really being a spot you don't want to be in. Let's stick with another receiver that's going in that range, Devin Funchess, 8.08. They drafted DJ Moore. Christian McCaffrey is expected to really, I think, take on more of the load in the passing game. Greg Olsen is back on the field. He's healthy. We saw last year with Devin Funchess, they traded Calvin Benjamin. Greg Olsen went down with an injury. Christian McCaffrey was still a rookie. Like, a lot of things broke his way, and he still had just an okay season. 8.08 is too early for me to draft Devin Funchess. Not a big fan of Devin Funchess, the talent, and I certainly don't like his standing in that offense with everything else around him and the other options at Cam Newton's disposal. I think if you draft Devin Funchess in the eighth round, you're going to be sorry.
Yeah, Calvin Benjamin only played 8 games last year for Carolina. They really didn't have anything else. Greg Olsen also went down. This reminds me a little bit about when I was talking about Evan Ingram in terms of everyone dying around him, or Kenyon Drake. You know, I think his numbers were grossly inflated because of that. They didn't really have much else to throw to, and they were artificially high last year. Prime candidate for regression. He had 111 targets last year. There's no way you can expect that again from a team that is one of the highest percentage in terms of balance and in terms of sticking to the run.
Yep. So I'm staying away, and I think it's only fitting for us to wrap up this episode of Players to Avoid with Isaiah Crowell, the player that I remember last year. He epitomizes everything that goes into Players to Avoid. He's going in the seventh round. I mean, give me a break with Isaiah Crowell. I'm staying completely away. Bilal Powell is still hanging around there. Thomas Rawls is there on the depth chart. They want to use the Elijah McGuire. They want to work him into. It's going to be a running back by committee. Isaiah Crowell is not going to catch passes. And if it's possible to go from a bad offense to an even worse offense, I think he just did that going from the Browns offense to the Jets.
It didn't exactly pick a good time to leave the Browns, that's for sure. So I think you're right there. I don't know how many times we need to get or people need to get fooled with Isaiah Crowell, but they have a few running backs there, and they kind of all have a little bit of a different purpose, it seems like. They have a young guy. They got a guy that does a little bit better at pass catching. The offense is really, you know, not all that great once again. So really it should be easy to just pivot away from this guy as well. And we really don't like him. So he's a perennial Players to Avoid list for us.
Yeah, and I did want to end with Isaiah Crowell, but I did skip over Will Fuller. Anything you want to say about Will Fuller? Because I think he's a player that we're both going to be avoiding as well. I mean, we both are big Deshaun Watson fans. We like Houston's offense as a whole. This is a guy that's missed 8 games over his first 2 seasons in the NFL, and he's kind of been a one-trick pony. His touchdown, I think over 50% of his catches last season were touchdowns, or he went through that span of games. 28 catches, 7 were touchdowns. So basically a fourth, you know, 25% of all his catches last year. See that math that I just did on the fly? 25% of his catches were touchdowns, not sustainable, and he's going in the 6th round. So I'm avoiding Will Fuller.
Yeah, Will Fuller's tough because I bet you if you look at just the games with Deshaun Watson, they're absolutely astronomical, just ridiculous. But he did play 10 games last year and mustered up a wholeheartedly 28 catches. I mean, both him and DeAndre Hopkins both have to play with the same quarterback all year. So DeAndre Hopkins still managed to have a very good season. Will Fuller is not, I know it goes without saying, he's not the wide receiver that DeAndre Hopkins is, but he's so far away from that that he shouldn't be selected on where he is. And he shouldn't be selected because he had a few games. I'm looking up his game log now from last year, and we'll get that in a second. But he had a couple of these games just back-to-back where he catching two passes for two touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, he had seven touchdowns in a four-game span. You know, he had in that span what he had, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. He had 14 catches in that span. Seven were for touchdowns. So 50% of the catches in that span were for touchdowns. It's just, and then he fell off the face of the earth, obviously, once Deshaun Watson went down. But I just...
Touchdown variancy is a real thing, okay? We talk about this all the time. We talk about it with Mike Evans in the past. We talk about it with quarterbacks, with Drew Brees, you know, coming back to touchdown variancy up a little bit. Touchdown variancy for Deshaun Watson, Carson Wentz coming down a little bit. This is a real thing. Will Fuller never caught more than five balls in one game. What are we doing here?
Yeah, and not to give away too much of my same player, different round. I'm not saying I'm going to use this example, but Kenny Stills, you can get him in the 13th round. He's Will Fuller.
This guy had never had more than five catches last year in a game and only had one game above 62 yards. This is crazy.
Yeah, and I think the reason that he's going in the 6th round is because people say, wow, geez, he had seven touchdowns. He was really clicking with Deshaun Watson. Then Deshaun Watson went down. What's going to happen if he has a full season with Deshaun Watson, you know? And that's fair, but I also think that that's not sustainable. I mean, we don't even know that Deshaun Watson is going to – we've seen plenty of quarterbacks in their rookie year just have nasty rookie years, and defenses start figuring them out, and then they come back a little, you know, bit down to earth. And even if Deshaun Watson does keep it up, I don't think it's sustainable for Will Fuller to be, you know, the recipient of all these touchdowns.
Yeah, and he's kind of like the newer version of the Deshaun Jackson back in the – you know, last 10 years or whatever. He's going to have that game where he catches a 60-yard touchdown pass and he puts up that 18, 20 points for you. Great. But as far as I'm concerned, I win fantasy football championships off of consistency. Most of us do. We need consistency week in, week out. Will Fuller is not going to be that.
Yep. Agreed. So I wanted to end with Isaiah Crowell. Really just wanted to take that final dig at Isaiah Crowell. But we ended with Will Fuller, which is fair because, hey, these are all players we're going to avoid. So to recap real quick, Josh Gordon, Alex Collins, LeSean McCoy, Jay Ajayi, Kenyon Drake, Marshawn Lynch, Will Fuller, Sammy Watkins, Michael Crabtree, Isaiah Crowell, Devin Funchess. Avoid them in your drafts. We sure will. We are the NFL Talking Heads. Stay tuned for our next part episode where we're going to talk about
I believe it's same player, different round, I think.
Same player, different round. So I just kind of teased it a little bit with my Will Fuller, Kenny Stills example. There's a chance that Kenny Stills will be featured in that episode. So just a tease. Stay tuned. We are the NFL Talking Heads.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the NFL Talking Heads Fantasy Football Podcast Show. Try saying that three times fast. With your hosts, Jeff Carrier and Seth Lull. We'll catch you next time.